Live from the Annex Wealth Management Studios at the Avenue in downtown Milwaukee, it's time to Fast Forward. Welcome to the future of almost everything in Wisconsin on the upswing. Joining WTMJ's Jeff Sherman, here's Steve Glenn and Martin Moore.
Good morning, Wisconsin. Good morning, Milwaukee. A special Wednesday show with Steve Glenn and Martin Moore. I love it. Thank you for the pivot, gentlemen. Working through some schedules. A bit of an unexpected surgery for my wife coming up. It's going to take me out of pocket for the rest of the week. But all good. We will power through. That's what we do on the upswing.
That's what we do.
That's right. All right. So the future of almost everything in Wisconsin, specifically for today's show, we're going to get to bars, entertainment, retail, Summerfest's RFP, the zoo, maybe piggyback a little bit on our topic yesterday, which was about local retail and shoes. But Martin, I want to start first, specifically, because we were just talking about it. The Bucks game last night, I know you're still recovering, as we
Jeff,
all are.
I slept terrible last night. I tossed and turned. I finally, at like 1 a.m., I went downstairs on the couch. All I could think about was that Bucks game yesterday. I lost my voice.
That's every Bucks game for you, though. You lose your voice.
It was, you know, as a season ticket holder, it gets exhausting, you know, going to some of those games. It's hard to remember a lot of the wins, but boy, the losses, they really stick with you. And it's going to be tough to try and forget last night, you know, going into the fourth quarter and we were down by 2, 3, 4. And then all of a sudden it escalated real quickly. And all of a sudden we were down by like 20, 22, 23. And I was like, oh my God.
Yeah. After Connaughton got that intentional foul called on him, went to the free throw line, hit the one, got the ball back. They cut it to three. You just thought the juice was back. And then
I thought that was that final run, that final little bit of luck that we needed to just make that push and take the lead. We didn't need to blow him out again. We just need to win by 1, 2 points. And it just got wildly out of control very, very quickly. And I couldn't stop thinking about it. And so,
yeah. Well, what is your get to Bucks plan? And we can talk about this a little bit after the break,
sure,
too. But there's a big story in the Wall Street Journal yesterday and the Business Journal about kind of corporate relocations, of course, are powering downtowns to an extent, but equally, probably even more important, is entertainment. And we're going to talk about the future of entertainment in all downtowns, but getting to big entertainment events some people are fearful.
It can be
it's pretty easy in this market, isn't it?
It really is, especially for, you know, I was at a Brewers game a week or two ago, and, you know, I go to, obviously as a season ticket holder, I go to a lot of Bucks games. Going to the Brewers game, it was a pain, like getting stuck in traffic, then going into that ridiculous parking lot and parking, you know, 2-3 blocks away, then waiting in the line, then going up the steps to get to your seat. It's a very long, convoluted process. Versus if you go to a Pfizer Forum, it's like you park on the street, you know, you walk a block, and then you wait in line 5 minutes. I think I waited last night for a playoff game. You're in, escalator up, you're at your seat. It's so quick. I would never be a season ticket holder if it was a pain to get in a Pfizer Forum. And it is shocking how well done the entire process from parking to getting in and getting to your seat is for a venue like Pfizer Forum. Whether you're going to see a concert, a Bucks game, whatever, I really, really think they knocked it out of the park, at least with that venue.
When we come back from the break, the future of entertainment in downtown, specifically in downtown Milwaukee, and we'll talk about new data that's suggesting the key to a strong downtown recovery may lie beyond the office. It's all about entertainment. This is The Upswing. We'll be right back. Welcome back to The Upswing. Honoring those who dedicate their lives to keeping us safe, WTMJ is highlighting first responders who went above and beyond this past year through Steve Scafidi's Salute to Service, presented by Waterstone Bank and sponsored by Outdoor Living Unlimited. You can nominate your first responder now at WTMJ.com or on the WTMJ mobile app. The nomination period is open now through May 10th. Finalists will be recognized during the Hero Week. That's May 20th through May 24th. Help us tell your story. Steve Scafidi's Salute to Service, presented by Waterstone Bank and sponsored by Outdoor Living Unlimited.
So new data has found that economic diversity, including entertainment, restaurants, retail, and tourism, is playing a huge role in the post-pandemic urban recovery. Out of 62 key markets, greater downtown areas, Milwaukee was number 25 in terms of increases in data and phone use, especially after 5 p.m. Hmm. As we can continue to grow our downtown, everyone, all the business people are talking about corporate relocations, yeah. recruit, retain, and that's is super important. We're a business and economics show here. But what do you want to see to really power Milwaukee's downtown forward, and what does it mean entertainment-wise in your lens? Steve Glenn.
Ooh, I want to so in the break, we were talking about what are the centers of sort of density or the big thing, other than things like the Fiserv or AmFam Field. We have a theater district. And that thing, that place, that area of downtown, I think could be another center of density that we can have nighttime entertainment and that will fuel commerce around it as well.
Yeah. I think that is a really good point. You know, continuing to create more centers of gravity beyond Fiserv and Deer District, incredibly important. That's where huge crowds are coming to, mm-hmm. but you got to expand that. And how do we do that?
Absolutely. I think one of the biggest things that I've seen, you know, I talk about this a lot on this show. You know, I've been vlogging the city since 2015 before all the stuff that we've seen in development. One of the things that I'm most impressed with and I think is going to attribute to, you know, sort of this post 5 p.m. entertainment thing in Milwaukee is where we're at right now, Third Street Market Hall. Watching this go from a completely mm-hmm. dead mall to this thriving communicative area where you can watch a game, have food from all these local right. vendors. You can bring your kids, play Mario Kart. You can play shuffleboard, all this stuff. They got X-Golf. This right here is something that I desired for this city because I've been to a lot of other cities that have, you know, in Philly and St. Louis, you know, that have like public markets. This is Third Street Market Hall is huge.
It's pretty legit.
Exactly. Yeah. And expanding this, I think, is going to be because like the theater district is cool
right.
if you got tickets.
Right.
But if you don't have tickets, and let's say you're a tourist and you're coming to Milwaukee for a long weekend, what do you do downtown at 7 p.m. on a Tuesday night?
Right.
Not a whole lot.
People are looking for dining and destination activity, totally. like the new fashioned in the Deer District. 100%. It's 25,000 square feet of space, previously occupied by Punch Bowl Social. Now it's a big destination that is for families. It's yes. for Gen X. It's for the 40 to 60-year-olds. It's a true space to go and enjoy yourself.
Deer District, you're right. That's another one that I keep forgetting about. Like, you don't have to go to a Bucks game to come to the district and find a really cool food and stuff to do. And so we're definitely getting these new little pockets of post 5 p.m. entertainment. Mm-hmm. And it's going to be exciting to see that get expanded upon. I think the lakefront, there's a, you know, we talked about this last week. Yeah. That's a huge opportunity to do something big. Doesn't yep. have to be Navy Pier. But there's an opportunity to do something down there where you can go with your family on a Wednesday night in the summertime and you know, whatever, watch a magician or get some cotton candy or I don't do whatever it is that you can do.
So JS Online did a survey over the last couple of weeks and asked its readers, what place, what store do you miss the most in Greater Milwaukee? Any idea what was number one?
What store? Like a department store?
Yeah. What store do you miss the most in Milwaukee that isn't here anymore?
Would they really say like Boston store?
Boston store was what? Number one, overwhelmingly. And many people said
really?
They hadn't found a replacement yet.
Yeah.
And I don't know if that's just a generational disconnect there.
What is special about but Boston store that you can't get it?
We have Legacy's been here for a long time. Yeah, we have Kohl's as a replacement downtown. We have the TJ Maxx downtown.
They missed the past.
There's a lot of different options. But it makes you think, you know, could another destination retailer work in greater downtown Milwaukee?
Shopping is huge. You know, that is one thing I like about the public market, and I'd love to see the public market expanded upon, is, you know, retail, like not like food focused sort of vendors in a public space, sort of, you know, because that's kind of how Third Street Market Hall is. But the Milwaukee Public Market having like apparel and maybe like some handmade crafts and jewelry and stuff like that. Like that stuff is fun to pop in, you know, if you're a tourist or even if you live here.
Yeah. I mean, Ryan Lasig is killing it with Milwaukee Makers Market once a month.
Yeah.
they could easily set up shop somewhere.
Exactly. I mean, as much as I love meandering through Kohl's,
right,
it's very different when you're in sort of an environment that, like, I don't know, that feels like a little community, you know, yeah, with local vendors.
All right.
The Boston store. Wow, people are losing sleep over the Boston store.
R.I.P.
So Summerfest wants to continue to grow and expand. Last week, the nonprofit that operates Summerfest and maintains the Lakefront Park announced a request for proposals to consider expanded opportunities for future programming and improvements. We'll talk about this and much more when we come back. This is The Upswing. I'm Jeff Sherman, and you are listening to WTMJ. Welcome back to The Upswing. We're kind of in a future of entertainment mode today. And I don't know, yesterday it was feeling like summer, and now it's feeling like winter. So I'm like, all right, I don't want winter. We're going all in on summer and talking about the fun stuff today with Steve Glenn and Martin Moore, the future of almost everything.
It's cold outside, but Martin Moore is hot today.
He is hot, warming our hearts.
For a guy who got three hours of sleep and I have a plug here and a slightly lost voice, I got a little fire in my
bringing the heat. So you look at the economics of Summerfest. I always say it's $28 to get in. A three-day pass is, what, $62? You can get a nine-day pass for $130. Summerfest at Milwaukee's Lakefront is still a big bargain. You get 12 stages. The headliner shows are a little different, of course. But now Summerfest is kind of looking really strategically into the future. They want to expand. They want to get some requests for proposals to consider opportunities for future programming and improvements. Could that mean year-round at the Summerfest grounds?
What would that look like?
I think that'd be awesome. You don't have to open up the entire park, but I mean, you have this giant infrastructure that just sits there. If there's not an ethnic fest or Summerfest, it just sits there doing nothing. Like, activate some of the areas and do, you know, like the West Town Market thing that we have every month in the summer. Right. I would love to see something like that every single week throughout the whole summer, from May to, you know, late October. And whether you do that in the Summerfest grounds, or we, you know, build something new like the Lakefront Gateway Plaza, or we rip down 794 and create some park, just some sort of outdoor area like that where, you know, you can take families and get food and buy local stuff. And I think that'd be awesome. Get some music.
And to truly make it additive to greater downtown, do you think new permanent year-round venues work there? I mean, we're talking retail, restaurants, maybe a Millennium Park type thing. Would that work in that space?
Martin is so happy right now thinking about this.
Yeah. One thing that drives me crazy about Milwaukee, I love this city. I've been to all 50 states, almost every major city. Milwaukee's a top 10 city for me, is that we don't have like a giant sort of communicative park area. Like, for me, I think the closest thing is Cathedral Square, and what does that have? A fountain that hasn't worked in a decade. Like,
you'll fix it.
Yeah, exactly. I would love something like Millennium Park. Doesn't have to be that big. We don't have to have the weird structure or whatever piece of art thing, but I think that would be awesome, where you can have food trucks and local musicians playing guitar or violin or cello or whatever it is you see in all those places. So,
funny enough, my friend Kate Pochask launched in a number of just a few weeks this year Winter Break. WinterBreakMKE.com was a huge success in South Shore Park. Cold plunge, bike rides, sauna, knitting mittens, Nordic walking, like all this kind of stuff.
Yeah.
The city turned out for this event.
Yes. I want to see dudes flipping chainsaws, shaving ice while I'm drinking spiked apple cider.
I think the entire Midwest would embrace a return of Winterfest on the grounds. Now, exactly what that looks like, I don't know. It doesn't have to be what it was in the past.
Yeah.
Remember Winterfest back in the 90s, moved to the Cathedral Square area. Yes. In the 80s, we had Duran Duran at the old school of Winterfest.
They were hot.
Kenny Rogers, Chris Rock played Winterfest at Summerfest.
I love Winterfest.
Like, bring it back.
And especially considering it's not like the weather and climate in winter in Milwaukee is what it was in the, you know, like when I was in the kid in the 80s where we got dumped on by snow.
When I was a kid.
It barely snows. It barely gets cold. I think you can pretty much guarantee that you could plan a winter fest and weather would be good and people would be able to come out.
And you got to recruit it, but some kind of destination retail I think could work on the grounds. Like, an REI or something like that that isn't in a 20-mile radius that, like, wow, I'm going to the lakefront. I can get this, but I can also hang out and see a band and get some food that I wouldn't be able to get elsewhere.
I think that'd be great.
I think we're going to continue to see very innovative, creative ideas from Sarah over at Summerfest and the crew who support her. I know Lena and Jared the most of those two. And they are looking, I know, because they've asked Experience Milwaukee for some ideas on how they stay engaged in the community year-round.
Big multi-use sports spaces, too, are something that are very, very needed. Welcome back to The Upswing, the future of almost everything with Martin Moore and Steve Glenn. I want to read a couple of the texts coming in. Truly appreciated. WTMJ talking text line 855-616-1620 from the 262. We should have put the new museum at the lake with the others, making a focused lakefront
museum district
like many other cities. Now, there are other museums on the lakefront, and it is a coordinated effort with the Gateway Lakefront Project. So, but that's a good point, for sure. Please do not touch I-794. Many people like me use it every day.
There's 10. I'm on 794 every day. If I see 10 people on that thing, it's a lot.
I'm with you, Martin. I think Lakefront Gateway Plaza, this is from the 262, is essential. If the festival grounds are to be expanded for year-round use, this project must continue to move forward.
Yes, yes.
Exactly. And it's that. It is, again, that connective tissue. At Westtown Association, I'm the board president at Westtown. We went through strategic planning. Number one is how we as an organization can work with other downtown groups to create a cohesive, walkable, more pleasant experience from neighborhood to neighborhood.
100%.
That's what is needed to expand everyone's pie.
Yes.
Because one of the things that bugs me about the city is just how fragmented a lot of the areas are. So, like, to get from downtown to, like, the third ward, you know, you got to go underneath 794. It feels weird. It just feels weird and closed off. You want to get to the lakefront. You got to cross Lincoln Memorial. And that, like you said last week, that's like playing a game of Frogger.
Yeah.
And so it'd be really great to sort of create ways to connect a lot of these areas. So it feels a little bit more cohesive and it doesn't feel so fragmented and blocky like Minecraft.
Yeah. Agreed.
So we're going to look at bars and restaurants a little bit. There was a really interesting piece in the Wall Street Journal that American listening bars are on tap across the country. Bar Continental in the Grand Hyatt in Nashville has a record collection in the thousands. And it's really focused on a hi-fi sound system that's the top of its menu, even more so than the food and drink. Taking inspirations from the Japan's jazz cafes, largely born in the post-war years, where records and great-sounding gear were the reason to go, making it rare, maybe a little bit more expensive, but you're going for the music and the sound. Would you like to see something like that in Wisconsin or Milwaukee?
Absolutely.
I think it'd be neat. Yeah. I mean, I don't know if it's my cup of tea, but there is something cool, especially if it's, you know, record related. There is something cool about listening to vinyl. I mean, it's super high fidelity audio.
And you got to listen to the whole album.
Yeah, exactly.
That's right.
You know, but it would be really cool to see just some more places that play like sorts of jazz music and music from like old records from like, you know, the 30s and 40s and 50s. And then you have a really cool bourbon selection. And maybe they pair an album with a type of mixed drink or a bourbon or something like that, or a glass of wine. Like, that could be a really cool, unique experience. And I think that's one of the things that, you know, Milwaukee has sort of trailed on, is just really unique bars and restaurants that you have an actual experience. You don't just go there, eat a meal, leave
Get
your
out,
tip,
right.
and then bounce. You know, places like Swing and Door Exchange or the Safe House that you know, you're taking pictures and you're
Tin
Riddle. Yeah, exactly, and then throwing up TikToks because it's a cool experience. And I think doing something like that with music and pairing it with food, drink, or whatever would be a really cool, unique experience.
So I know Indeed, I mentioned this in the break, Indeed Brewing does have a vinyl night. You can bring your own and put it in the queue and they'll play it.
The whole thing?
Yeah.
I'm bringing Smashing Pumpkins, Melancholy, and Infinite Sadness. Both records.
And transfer pizza, you would never expect a place with great live jazz Tuesdays and Thursdays. You have to check that out.
You told me that.
You have to check it out.
And vinyl's hot again. Record Store Day last weekend, there were lines all over the place. Volta Records in Greenfield had lines around the block all day long. So it's hot. Let's integrate it into bars and restaurants.
That'd be cool.
And, you know, enhance the experience for all of us.
Yeah, I love it.
Music and entertainment truly matters. We're going to pivot a little bit after the break. We're going to talk about the future of the Milwaukee County Zoo. Look at the pricing, look at the parking, just look at the whole experience. And I'm going to ask Steve and Martin, when was the last time you were at the zoo? This is The Upswing. You are listening to WTMJ. Welcome back to The Upswing. The future is here, and we're talking about it. Into a entertainment show today. We're going to go the future of the Milwaukee County Zoo next with Steve Glenn and Martin Moore. When was the last time you visited the zoo, Martin Moore?
For pleasure?
For anything.
Probably 20 years. I did a vlog back when Wheaton Franciscan Healthcare was a thing. I did a video for them in like 2014 or 15, and that was it.
Okay. I was there last Sunday.
With the family, with the kids?
With one of the kids and my wife, and we had a great time. It was packed. The weather was beautiful-ish. But, you know, the zoo kind of felt a little tired. You know, lacking some energy. I know it's early in the season, but
right.
There's some spark that could happen there.
So the daily admission fee at the zoo is they do a flex pricing structure. The prices fluctuate based upon demand. Really, I mean, $11, $12, $16 on the weekend, still a pretty
that's not bad.
Pretty good ticket price to get in
to
this beautiful, majestic. Truly, the zoo is a park.
It is.
Yeah. It is a majestic park-like setting that you get to walk around and happen to see animals in nature and kids. A zoo train that's only $4 to take around the entire place.
Can the adults go on the zoo train?
Yes, you can.
Oh, of course.
Can adults drink on the zoo train?
I believe so. I'm going to say yeah.
If they can, I might be at the zoo this weekend.
Let's go. I'll go with you.
Well, what, and it goes to kind of our Summerfest conversation, what could the zoo continue to do to improve it and make it even more of a destination? And they already have the carousel. They have the scooters, the zip line, the sky gliders, VR experiences. They bring in traveling exhibits, which creates another reason for people to go above and beyond. Hey, we're just going to take our family two or three times.
Sure.
The zoo a la carte.
Sure. Music.
The annual Samson Stomp for runners like me.
That's cool.
It's a great event to run through the park.
Yeah.
But what makes it more destination, especially your mom or dad, and you kind of get out of the family time? You know,
or
kids are gone.
Date night.
Yeah. What's going to make you want to go to the zoo? Is it destination restaurant?
No, absolutely. I think one of the things, you know, if you work at and you're in upper management or ownership at the zoo, is people are going to gravitate towards the zoo who have kids. Like you're always going to get those customers because kids want to go to the zoo with families and kids. What you really want to try and do is get people like me where the zoo's not on the radar. Why would I go there? I don't care. But if you have a really cool bar or restaurant or something that I can't get downtown or anywhere else, the Penguin Bar, where, you know, I see penguins sliding down slides and I see polar bears move around. And or you could have a wedding there, or you could have some sort of event there, corporate events. Something like that would be really cool. More races. I just think there's a lot of things you could do with that space that doesn't involve just meandering around and looking at giraffes and gorillas and rhinoceroses or whatever they have there.
All of that.
But I definitely think it would start with a really unique sort of dining and drink experience. I'd 100% go there if the fish tank or something. I'm not saying a rainforest cafe, but stuff like that that's going to get people like me who aren't going to go there because I don't have kids to go there and bring my wife there or bring a date there or go there with the family and show them something really cool and special and unique. Because these are a lot of rare, some are endangered species. These are rare animals that you're not, I mean, you don't see giraffes meandering around with the turkeys, in Shorewood.
That's right.
To see these animals, it's a really cool experience, but it's not on people's radar like me.
Yeah. And I think, you know, the zoo is open more than just the summer.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Not a lot of people know around. That.
Yeah.
And to imagine a combined sort of strategic messaging with whatever Summerfest might do all year round with the domes that you mentioned, yeah. Martin, and the zoo to get people out and about in the winter. Yes.
That's what's cool about the domes, too, is you can go to the domes in the winter. One of my favorite things to do, and don't do this, listeners, is sneak a flask into the tropical dome, and then I like go in and like I hide in there and I sit on a bench and just have a little,
a little toast,
a little sip and pretend like I'm in, you know, Tampa, Florida.
For the record, you can bring food into the zoo, but and only non-alcoholic beverages. It's open till 5 o'clock beginning May 25th, which is great. Personally, I'd love to see a night or two.
Yeah.
And maybe per month, mm-hmm. where the zoo's open until 9 p.m. or 10 p.m.
Kind of zoo after dark.
Yeah, that would be really great.
Sticks.
All right. We appreciate the ideas. We are solving entertainment challenges and creating more opportunity, creating more greater good right here on The Upswing with Steve Glenn and Martin Moore. We'll come back and wrap up our conversation. You are listening to The Upswing on WTMJ. Welcome back to The Upswing. I am WTMJ's Jeff Sherman. Let's give away a gift card to the Mineshaft restaurant in either Hartford or Oshkosh. The Sherman family lives in the North Shore of Milwaukee. Mineshaft in Hartford, it's a staple. It's a pretty easy drive for us. I don't know, 35, 45 minutes. Gets the kids away from the Xbox into the huge $2 million game room. Exactly like the one in the Mineshaft. Great pizza, too. Mom and dad can sit and hang out at the table. Maybe make our way up to the bar while the kids check out the big game room. Call in number 9 at 855-616-1620. Gets a gift card to the historic Mineshaft. And friendly reminder that Thursdays, that's today, feature buy... No, that's tomorrow. Tomorrow, feature buy one, get one free pizza. So to close, Martin Moore, Steve Glenn... Somebody asked me this just a few days ago and said, you do that Future of Almost Everything show, and I love it. I said, thanks. Steve and Martin do a wonderful job. So ask them this.
That's like, debatable.
Okay.
Yeah, we'll see. We'll see what the future holds.
Dig, if you will, this. What if you truly knew the future of everything in your life? If everything was mapped out, how would that make you feel? You know, think of it from a personal, from a business spiritual standpoint. If you knew the future of everything in your life, what do you do differently?
So what's the question?
What are you going to change?
How does it make you feel?
I know, or do I want to know?
Or you know.
Both.
I know?
Yes, the future. You have a roadmap. You're provided a roadmap.
Miserable.
These decisions are going to take place. These life marks are going to happen. This challenge is going to come about.
No, thanks.
How does that make you feel?
No, thanks.
No, thanks.
I don't want to know.
So my first reaction was, heck no, I don't want to. And then I got curious. And then I feel like this sort of happened to me the other day where I did know my future. And it did not change my behavior.
How so? With a project or?
No. I was in a drive-thru at Qdoba. And it was taking a while, and I think I was just sitting there, but the woman who was running the drive-thru came out and said, "Is this burrito for you?" And I said, "Yeah," and then she walked away.
Boy, that's a weird conversation.
And came back finally with my burrito, and I thought, I know what's going to happen if I eat this burrito. It didn't change my behavior.
Nah.
I wouldn't want to know. I think for me... that takes away all of the
fun.
Drive and motivation right. and enjoyment out of life. Like, I thrive. I also don't like the idea of, okay, this is going to be my career.
Yeah.
This is how much money I'm going to make. This is where I'm going to travel. I don't want to feel like my life is handcuffed and I'm on a one-lane street and I can't deviate and change my life, you know, for the better or the worse.
Well, it would be so weird not to be able to learn from the past.
100%.
Too, because you'd be in the moment, but you know you'd know what would happen next.
Absolutely.
Right. Where would that leave you?
Absolutely.
And you couldn't grow older and wiser either.
Absolutely.
Because you'd just be consistent because you knew everything that was going to happen.
Yeah.
The interesting thing is we're a bunch of creatives in this room right now. And so we sort of like the free flow of not knowing and experimenting and testing. I bet there are people who are more structured that would want to know exactly sort of what they should be doing and when.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. You have it all mapped out.
Yes.
But then you got to think, you know, would knowledge matter? And would curiosity even matter?
Not like, for me.
Just how would
Not
that change the mindset? I don't know.
Yeah. I have, you only live once, but if you do it right, once is enough tattooed on the back of my arm. It's my favorite quote. It's by an actress named Mae West.
Okay.
She's fun fact. She got married in Milwaukee when she was like 17. She's an actress back from like the 20s, 30s, 40s.
Yeah.
And I've always lived my life on every single day I wake up, I'm fortunate enough to wake up and be able to live a nice, healthy life and do what I want. And not everybody gets to enjoy that. And is that fortunate? And so I wouldn't want to know my future because I feel like that would really change how I live my day-to-day life. And like I tell people this all the time. If I were to die tomorrow, I'd be okay with it because I know that every single day that I wake up, I do exactly what I want, whether that's jam-packing the day with a radio show, speaking engagements, work, Bucks games, or sitting on my butt playing video games for 12 hours. I do exactly what I want, and I feel like knowing my future would change that, and I don't want to change that. I feel like I would be lazy, and I just wouldn't do anything because I would know everything about my life, and that just doesn't sound
all right. Onward, upward, and here's to the future of almost everything, each and every day of our wonderful lights. Thanks for joining us, Steve Glenn, Martin Moore. We'll do it again next week.